I want to pause for a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you love us and that you want us and that you keep us. And Lord, just speak through me, Lord, the things that you wanted me to share today. Lord, just have your way and just let it do whatever it's supposed to do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's almost Christmas time, but I don't have a Christmas message. Sorry. And I don't have a joke, and I don't have a... Well, I have a story, but it's not a fake story. It's a true story. I felt like God wanted me to tell you guys a little bit about what we went through with Jackson a little bit. Okay? So, Jackson came home from school on my birthday, August the 28th. It's a Saturday. And he was going to meet us for dinner. And we went to City Barbecue, favorite in our family, except for Sam. And we got to City Barbecue, and maybe we should be ashamed of the amount of food that's on our table when we're there sometimes, but there's a lot of food on our table. Lots of meats and lots of good sides and cornbread and all kind of good things. And he didn't eat a whole lot. And Jack, he loves their turkey and he loves their cornbread. He didn't eat very much. And he looked a little sweaty and a little tired. And we actually went to the bowling alley that night because I was in the mood for a bowling alley pretzel. Fairfield's bowling alley has good pretzels. They're deep fried. They used to be pretzel sticks. They're deep fried, and they give you a thing of queso cheese, and it's really good. Well, we went there to get a pretzel because it was my birthday, and I was being spoiled, I guess. But we got there, and the pretzels were a little different. It was a big old pretzel. It still tasted about the same. And I think Parker and Holden and Sam bowled. I don't think Jack bowled. And I didn't bowl. And, you know, he was trying to enjoy himself, you know, but you could just tell he just didn't feel good. So we got home that night and we went to bed, and, you know, we've had four kids, and there's been many a knock at the door when I'm trying to go to bed already. And I go to sleep pretty quickly, so they better knock loud. Joey always hears them, though. But anyway, there's a knock at the door. Go to the door, and it was Jack. And he said he couldn't sleep, said his stomach was bothering him. He hadn't been sleeping well at school. His stomach, he's been having some digestion issues, and he was kind of worried about a couple things. And, you know, Joey told him to try to get some sleep, and we'd deal with it in the morning because it was pretty late at that point in time. So the next day was a Sunday, and she took him to urgent care to get checked out. And, of course, they gave him a COVID test, and it was negative. And, I'm not going to go into every specific because there was so much that went on that I can't even keep it all straight. You'd have to write every bit of it down. So I'm just telling you what I remember as much as in the way that it happened. And so anyway, he started to feel worse and worse when he came home after going to the urgent care and that. He started to have a fever, started to get pretty high, started to get dehydrated. His heart rate started to race up to about 200 beats a minute while he was laying in the bed. And then it would drop down to 140 beats a minute or whatever. And apparently that comes with dehydration. His oxygen saturation started getting below 90, which we started to get concerned because if it starts getting down into the low 90s, they're concerned. We made multiple trips to the ER to get him looked at. And how many? Four trips to the ER. And, you know, we weren't allowed to go in with him. So, that wasn't easy. You know, he's a big guy. He's a young man. He's not a kid anymore. But he's still your kid. And Joey and I sat in the car one time for 8 hours waiting while he was in the emergency room. That's not, hey, look at us, this is what we did. We didn't want him to feel like he was there alone. And so he finally was admitted to the hospital. And they told us that he had COVID pneumonia, is what they said. And like I said, we weren't allowed to go in with him. We weren't allowed to see him. And, you know, Jackson had asthma when he was a kid. So COVID pneumonia is not a good thing when you've had asthma issues in your life. And he, you know, he's like most of us. He could stand to lose some weight. He's, you know, he's got other health things that aren't great to go along with being sick with this. So his breathing continued to get worse and worse as he was in the hospital. And they put him on oxygen in his nose. And I know at one point they had him on a mask that was over his mouth and his nose, I believe. They never did put him on a ventilator, which was a good thing, because that's not really where you want to get to, because it can be hard to get back from that. You know, he went a couple days at a time without eating because they wouldn't give him any food. He wasn't sleeping well. And, you know, he didn't have his glasses. Well, he didn't have his contacts in, and he doesn't have any glasses right now. So we sent him an iPad, and then he had his phone, but he couldn't see things that clearly because he didn't have glasses or his contacts in. So he had a lot of time to lay there, you know. And, you know, a 20-year-old that kind of feels like they're facing their mortality a little bit, because he wasn't sure what exactly the extent of what was going on with him was going to be. And you add that to feeling kind of alone, that's a pretty tough spot to be in. And we were able to talk to him a lot on the phone, and we FaceTimed with him for hours at a time sometimes. And, you know, we were getting test results, alerts on our phone, Joey's phone, not my phone, nonstop at all hours of the day and night, because they were constantly testing him for all kinds of things, checking his levels of everything, which is what you want him to do. And, you know, Joey couldn't stop looking at those tests. I woke up many a night with her over there with the phone glowing, where the results had come in at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and she was looking at what they were, which is a mother, for sure. And then she would try to look up what they meant, which WebMD can be a terrible thing when you try to self-diagnose yourself or try to figure out what's going on with something. But we did have some help. It was decided that Lauren, Kurt's daughter, was going to help us out because she dealt with COVID patients in Georgia. She works in a hospital. So we were kind of relaying the results to her. She was looking at them. She was asking doctors that she worked with about the results and what questions we should ask. Just trying to get a, you know, kind of a grasp, because you're flying blind. We're over here at home and he's over there, and the nurse might call you once a day, or the doctor if you're lucky. And, you know, it really felt like this situation was on a quick downward spiral. And I will never forget being at work and being on a three-way call with Joey and the doctor. And it was the first time we talked to him. And he told us that his one lung was completely full of infection. And he told us that his other lung had about a 20% capacity for air. And he said that that was the worst that he had seen since he had been dealing with those people. And it felt like someone punched you in the stomach to hear that, you know? Now, this guy, Charles L. Allen, he said, when you say a situation or a person is hopeless, you are slamming the door in the face of God. You know, I heard an interview with a doctor who was critical in the research that was done as they came up with medicines to help with HIV and AIDS patients. Okay? And what this guy said, because early on, if you remember, anyone who contracted AIDS or HIV died. They lost weight, they got sicker and sicker, and they died. And they said that this guy was critical because they knew his knowledge in helping them figure out what to try to do. And he said the biggest obstacle to overcome as he started to work on this problem was to not succumb to false hopelessness. And I looked up the word hopelessness because we know what it means. But this is what the definition said. Having no expectation of good or success. Not susceptible to remedy or cure. Incapable of redemption or improvement. Now, you know, I know and I believe that at times God will allow you to feel helpless in your own strength. Helpless but not hopeless. He is our hope. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, always ready to help in times of trouble. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And I'll tell you, we surely needed that peace. So, from what we heard from the doctor, he had one lung that wasn't really doing anything but being messed up, and the other one had about a 20% capacity for air. And I remember the question Joey asked the doctor on the phone. She said, what should we be praying for? I don't think he knew what to say to that. He said, we really need these medicines that we are giving him to start working. And I'm smart enough to know that God has allowed medicines to be created. You know, can he miraculously cure us of anything? Absolutely. Can it happen like that? Absolutely. I have no doubt of that. Does it always happen like that? No. Sometimes do you have to be patient and have faith? Yeah. He said, he's young and he's strong. And he said, that's working in his favor. And it was working in his favor. But God was the biggest thing that was working in his favor. So as Joey and I were kind of dealing with some of this stuff, we ended up sitting on the porch a lot. And talking. And the test results were still getting worse. And I told her, I said, we have to give God time to work. And we have to give the medicines time to work. And I said, we're looking for some positive improvement to start to come. And then it happened. A few test results, they started to improve. And then a few more. God was working. They started to reduce the amount of oxygen that he was on. Then they took him off of it altogether. More test results improved. And when I was at work, I was praying and I was asking God to multiply the strength and the effect of the medicines that they were giving him. I said, God, I know you can do that. You can multiply what that medicine can do. You can double and you can triple it if you want to. And about as quickly as things got bad, they got better. And they were ready to release him from the hospital. He had been in there for 10 days. And he came home to recover the rest of the way. And recently he saw a pulmonologist who said his lungs sounded good. For a guy who had pneumonia, I don't really hardly think I heard him cough very much. He has to get a chest x-ray soon, and they want to look at his x-ray. And he's scheduled to start back to school in January because we had to remove him from school to not lose his scholarship. Because they said they would hold his scholarship because he needed to get healthy, which was good. So I felt like God wanted me to tell you that. And all I can say is thank you, God, for all that you've done for our son. We were helpless, but we were not hopeless. And I want to thank all of you, any of you who said a prayer for him or for us. We appreciated them and we felt them. I thank you for the messages on the Caring Bridge thing that Joey had set up to kind of keep people abreast of what was going on. Those were encouraging to hear from people. And, you know, I want to thank his nurses and his doctors because those people are dealing with the risks themselves and taking care of our friends and our family and our loved ones every day. You know, I always think about policemen and firemen. You know, when they leave the house every day, they may or may not come home that night. And that's a real 50-50 chance probably every day in reality. You wouldn't think a nurse or a doctor should have to worry about that kind of being the case with them, but kind of it is right now. So I thank them for what they do. Now, when Jackson was in the hospital, I didn't stay home from work. I kept working. We're extremely busy, working a lot of hours. And you know, my job gave me a distraction, and it kept my hands busy. And it also gave me time to spend with God. And you know what he did while I spent time with him? He calmed me down. He reassured me. He encouraged me. And he strengthened me. Now, there's one other person that I would like to thank who I will probably never meet in my life. And that's okay. But I'm going to thank them anyway because they played an important role in this for me. And that was C.C. Winans, the singer. because she was inspired to record a CD called Alone in His Presence 26 years ago. And the songs on that CD were an encouragement and a strength to me. And they were a place of rest for my weary mind. We stayed in contact with people, trying to let them know what was going on. I'll be honest with you, I didn't talk to my dad or my mom very much during that time. And it wasn't for any other reason than I told my mom, there are certain people that I have a hard time holding it together in certain situations, and she is one of them. So I said, I find it easiest to handle this right now by just staying quiet and leaning on God. And listening to this CD while I worked did wonders for me. So I'm going to sing you every song from this CD. No, I'm not going to do that. Nope. And it's funny because the other day, I got the CD out. I listened to it on my iPod, but I got the CD out. I actually found it. And I got the booklet out, and I looked in the little CD booklet. And with every song on this CD, she had a scripture with it, which she was linking her singing that song to that scripture, you know. So the first song on this CD is called Alone in the Presence. And that's right where I needed to be. And the scripture for that song was Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The second song, you know, it's called I Surrender All. And you know, I've kind of learned to start doing this quickly when situations get hard. And I'm glad of that, because that's exactly what you need to do when things start getting hard. You need to surrender it all to God. Even as tempted as you are to try to control the problems when they come, we don't have much control. So the scripture that went with I surrender all was James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The third song on it was called Because of You. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. And Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are ye saved, and through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. And the fourth song, I listened to more than once at a time. I'd hit repeat and go back. And that song was called His Strength is Perfect. That song was written by Stephen Curtis Chapman, which most of you have probably heard of. He's written a lot of songs that are pretty popular. And I'm going to read you the words to this song. And it says, His strength is perfect, so perfect. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes I wonder what he can do through me. No great success to show, no glory of my own. Yet in my weakness, he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in his power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect His strength is perfect. We can only know the power that He holds when we truly see how deep our weakness goes. His strength in us begins when ours comes to an end. He hears our humble cry and proves again. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in His power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. He'll carry us when we can't carry on. Raised in His power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. Raised in His power, the weak become strong. His strength is perfect. His strength is perfect. The scripture for that one was 2 Corinthians 12:9. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in My infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then the fifth song is called Every Time. And the scripture that went with it is Jeremiah 33:3. And this is a great promise from God right here. It says, Call unto Me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. And I thought, wow, when I need to know something, do I call somebody else first, or do I call on Him? He says right there that He'll give us the answers, and He'll show you great and mighty things. The sixth song is another one that you probably know. Great is Thy faithfulness. Lamentations 3:22-23. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. And then there was a song on there called the Praise Medley. And it was basically, Joyful, joyful, we adore Thee. O come all ye faithful, give thanks. Just want to praise You. And a song called Worthy, all put together. And for it, it said Psalm 150. And Psalm 150 says, Praise the Lord. Praise God in His heavenly dwelling. Praise Him in His mighty heaven. Praise Him for His mighty works. Praise His unequaled greatness. Praise Him with a blast of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lyre and the harp. Praise Him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with a clash of cymbals. Praise Him with loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that lives sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise Him in the midst of your trial? Absolutely. The next song is another one that you probably know. It's called Blessed Assurance. Isaiah 32:17. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. And I was thinking about that. What more could you want in the midst of a trial but peace, quietness, and assurance? Sign me up. The ninth song was called the Blood Medley. And the first song was one that we had in one of our plays. So the first time I ever heard that, I'm like, hey, I know that song. It was in the Easter play that we did. It consisted of The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power from Andre Crouch. Oh, the blood of Jesus, which was the one from the play. There is power in the blood, and Lamb of God. Revelations 1:5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You know, everything that we have comes from him. And if it wasn't for that blood, if he didn't think we were worthy for that blood to be spilled for us, we wouldn't have any of it. And then the 10th song is called, He's Always There. Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So there was a lot of stuff there in those 10 songs for me to draw from. And I needed that. Now, I believe that God had me tell you about Jack and about that for this reason. Because I was kind of like, oh, I don't have any problem telling you about what happened. But I'm like, okay, God, why do you want me to tell him that? You know what I mean? And then I felt like this is why he wanted me to tell you that. When God inspires you to do something, the effects that that can have on people's lives is limitless. Do you think that C.C. Winans knows that 26 years later that CD was feeding me when I needed it? She might not know it, but she knows God. She knows that that's the way he does stuff. So I'm here today. I want to encourage you to follow God's inspiration in your life. Now, you may have not have been here in the last few weeks, but if you weren't, that's okay. But those of you who were, you remember a few weeks ago, Dad told you about reading the Windows of Gold poem by Helen Steiner Rice, and that inspired him to want to write something that was that beautiful. And you know, Helen Steiner Rice, she was following her inspiration from God. And by doing so, what's resulted in just this instance is other divinely inspired poems being written by Dad. And you know, his poems, like hers, they will live long past the time that he does and the times that she did. And they'll continue to bless people for a long time. And I was thinking, you know, things birthed out of godly inspiration have limitless possibilities because they have the DNA of a limitless God built into them. And you know, when I was kind of thinking about this stuff, God brought another person to my mind, and that person was Susan Holden. You know, she was a married mother of two working in the emergency room for a bunch of years, and she became a midwife. And you know, it took a lot to become a midwife. I remember she had to go out of town for school sometimes, and she had to go out of town to, like, I think, you know, co-op or whatever they call it, you know, or do clinicals or whatever it was. And she was away from her family. And I'm pretty sure I've heard Susan say that she's helped deliver over 2,000 babies. And I'm sure that acting on that inspiration to be a midwife cost Susan something. I'm sure it cost her physically at times. I know there's times when you would deliver one baby after another and you'd have two going on. You know what I mean? It's like she'd sleep at the hospital in the sleeping room and, you know. I'm sure it cost her mentally at times. because I'm sure every birth didn't go great. And I'm sure it cost her emotionally too, because she's a mother. But I know what a blessing she was to those expecting mothers as she saw them before they had their babies. And I know that every one of those babies that were born into her prayerful, loving hands started life with a blessing. And that has an eternal effect on those lives. And I'm sure it was well worth whatever cost it cost her. So I just want to encourage you, everyone who can hear my voice, to follow God's inspiration in your life. As I look around this room, you know, I know what some of you people in here can do. And I know what some of you do. It's crucial for the growth of God's kingdom that you do. So if you're a writer, write. If you're a poet, rhyme. You don't have to rhyme, but sounded good. If you're a teacher, teach. If you're a singer, sing. If you're an encourager, encourage. If you're inspired by God to do something or to be something for Him, what are you waiting for? Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord, I know every one of us at times is inspired by you to do something, to say something, to create something, to be something in the right situation. And Lord, I just ask you to help us to not hesitate, to do our part in the bigger picture that you've got going on. Because it'll do nothing but bless us. And we'll be a blessing to those around us. So Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters in this room. I know there's a lot of talent in this room. And I ask you, Lord, to keep inspiring them to do things and to be things for you, for the good of your kingdom, Lord. I just thank you for your love and your mercy, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you need any prayer, we're definitely always here to pray with you.